Wake Up Call on WTLS continues. Jennifer Lee is here, and this is an interesting story that we're going to let her talk more about, and it's about a condition that is called FTD, and it's not the flower people. I guess we need to explain that.
Right.
Because you type FTD on Google, you'll see that first. But
exactly.
I want you to tell about what you have and what you guys are doing for awareness here with this.
Okay. FTD stands for frontotemporal dementia, and it was a long time getting to the process of that diagnosis. However, I was diagnosed way before most people actually do find a diagnosis.
When did you get it diagnosed with this?
I was officially diagnosed in December of 2018, but then I went through all the cognitive testing at Emory, and reinforced the diagnosis, and that was April of 2019.
When did you start having symptoms and knew something was not right?
I started noticing small things about myself probably, I would say, a year before, a year and a half before. And it was small things. For instance, I would go to a meeting at work and I would forget what we were meeting about.
Yeah.
And I would forget my part of what I had done, and I would have to run and go grab it, which everybody thinks, oh, that's just typical. That's what happens to everybody.
Right.
But when you do it over and over and it becomes a pattern and that's not something you're used to doing, then you start to think, what's not right here? And then also it started to be more things that really stuck out to me. I had several students that I tutored on the side in the afternoon, and we were working one day, and we were sitting there, we were working on our multiplication tables, and I was just floored because we were working on fives, and all of a sudden I was sitting there, and I was looking down at it, and I couldn't remember my five multiplication tables, which of course are the easiest,
mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking, okay, just a fluke, just, you know, like everybody does. Your brain, end of day, had a long day. And so this was around the beginning part of September 2018, right after we had gone back to work. And then I was standing at my computer, and one day in the library, and I was looking for Word, and I couldn't find it. And it has... Anybody that ever worked with me knew how meticulous I was about putting certain things in certain places. And I was looking for it, and I mean, I kept it on the same place on my desktop for years.
Yeah.
And I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it. And so someone was like, Miller, it's right there. And I was like, okay, well, it's just one of those days. And I was having more of those times where I was thinking, it was just one of those days. And I noticed I was a lot more sensitive to noise, and I was a lot more sensitive to over, I guess, you know, in a child, you'd call it like overstimulation.
Yeah.
But I was used to those things because I had been a teacher for so long. And anybody can tell you, as a teacher, noise doesn't really bother you. I mean, and you can hear certain things you can hear a conversation with a ton of background noise going on because that's how teachers are. And I was noticing that by the end of the day, I just would part, and it was normally in my right side. Sometimes I would have a shake or a tremor in my hand, and I wasn't sure what was going on with that. And just the defining moment was, and I had done this report for our school for 10 years, and I went to go open the report on my computer. You know, I had a link saved for it because I'd done it for so many years, and it was something I had worked with multiple teachers on. And I opened the report, and I started trying to read it. And I looked at my computer, and I stopped, and I walked into, at the time, it was Matt's office, Mr. Coker. And I closed the door, and I told him I needed to talk to him. And I said, I don't know what's wrong, but it's something is really wrong. And we talked about it, and he said, you know, did they change the format? Because, you know, the State Department will do that. They'll change the format of some program. And I said, no. I said, but I have no clue what it's asking. I mean, I was an English teacher.
How many years have you been teaching at this point?
I retired out, and I was at almost 17 years.
You just retired in what, 18 or 19?
It was official like February 2019.
Yeah. You were known as Jennifer Miller back then. You're Jennifer Lee now. I just want to let people know that, so they can put a name with a face. Yeah.
So I have been at the school. I mean, you know, one of those teachers, like, you know, we all had growing up, you know, teachers forever.
Yeah.
Ernest and I almost said her maiden name.
I remember maiden name.
Yeah. I was talking to her last week, and, you know, I was talking to her about her mom. Everybody in Tallahassee knows you have generations where the same teachers taught us. We know where, if I tell you in the high school to go to Miss John's old room, you know exactly where to go, don't you?
Sure.
Right. So I told, and he said, well, go to the doctor. You know, get it checked out. And Chris had noticed small things. And, you know, it was more than just forgetting. I mean, you know, because everybody forgets things.
Yeah.
But it was almost a level of, it affects your cognitive functioning. Meaning that all of a sudden, I couldn't do 10 things at one time. All I could do was one thing at one time.
Yeah.
And to work in a school effectively, you cannot only do one thing at one time. You have to be able to do 20 things at one time. Mm-hmm. And so it affects your executive functioning as to the, and my variant that I have is the speech variant, which is so ironic that an old English teacher or librarian would get the speech variant. Where I splice words together, use the wrong word in context, and also I will talk to just make it make sense. I talk like Yoda. My sentences will be inverted. I forget words. And it all, like in the morning, is usually when I'm the strongest. And then just depending on the day or how the day goes by the afternoon, and that sometimes or at late night, I mean, I'm done. And when people try to talk to me, they think it's hilarious. That's when the girls call me. They're like, hey, Mom, what are you doing? And, you know, and they laugh. And they're like, you know what you just said?
Yeah.
And then So getting back to how I was diagnosed. So I went to my doctor that's been my doctor since 2012. And I talked to her about it. And she put me out of work temporarily for 3 months. So that's a big deal for somebody in education to find out on a Tuesday that on Friday you're going out for a 3 month leave.
In the middle of a school year, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I did. And they, of course, I was a guinea pig. You know, everybody that's undergone any kind of medical testing, you know what that feels like. And we went and I did several scans, several tests. I had to do some cognitive testing, you know, of course, multiple neurologist visits, different kind of scans, some in-home tests. I even had one test where, you know, they came in and hooked me up to EKG or whatever it is. That may be your heart, but
yeah,
they were attachments all in my hair. Leads all in my hair and all over, and we had a camera set up in our house to monitor my brain activity. So, and I couldn't take a bath for a week. I mean, I had to stay like that way and carry this pack around. And by the end of the week, I mean, you can imagine how you would feel.
Yeah.
And I had an allergic reaction to the stuff that was in my hair because of the leads. And so in December, when we went back to the doctor, and I just could not talk highly enough about Dr. Janish. She's in Montgomery. And we went back, and she said that it was frontotemporal dementia. And Chris and I looked at each other, and we said, what is that?
Yeah.
I mean,
you've heard of dementia, but is this, well, how does this relate to that?
Right. And I thought, dementia? I'm 41 years old.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, dementia? Because so many of the symptoms are make people think of other things. You think somebody may be just slipping mentally, or you think maybe somebody's having hormone issues. I know this summer before I was diagnosed, I had a hysterectomy. And that is important in my story. And the reason it is important is because I was put to sleep. You know, I was under
Anesthesia. Yeah.
And because of that, and because of being put to sleep, the anesthesia immediately, that is what made it go from looking like small things going on at the beginning to way bigger things when I went back to school that year, like not being able to find word or not being able to have to understand that report. And it was the point where I could read a line and look at you, and I couldn't even tell you what I read. Michael, I could not even tell time on a clock when I was doing my cognitive testing. And all of that, and the reason why it jumped so much to the forefront so fast was because I have it gone under anesthesia. And we do now know that people with dementias of any kind, it's unless it is absolutely medically necessary, they don't need to be put under anesthesia. And when they're put under anesthesia, the anesthesia is used in a different way. It's a different medicine that they use.
I did not know that. Never heard it.
So that was another part. And after I was diagnosed, then came all, you know, then we had Christmas. Yay, everybody. Guess what? Mom's got a terminal illness. And then Gracie was diagnosed with cancer.
Your daughter.
Yes, yeah. Right after that. And so then we dealt with that and, you know, made it through that while I was trying to do my cognitive testing at Emory. And that was brutal. That was 12 hours of mental questioning where they show you a, you know, like a puzzle board, red dots, blue dots, and green dots, and then hold it down. But it was broken up over sections. It was like four or five trips to Atlanta. And, you know, and that even something as simple as like when I came in, she might say three words and then 5 minutes later ask me what those three words were. And it was just well, by the time that was over, we knew. After my first visit, she had already, you know, pretty, she said later after my first visit, she pretty much already knew that's
what
it was.
We take it just for granted what our minds do.
Right.
And then when it hits you like this, that it's not doing everything you've been accustomed to, it's got to be, you know, some type of shock. I mean, and for you, I'm curious, how has it progressed? You say it's a terminal illness. What does that mean for your future? I mean, it's terminal, but I mean, is this something you'll deal with for years? Or what is the outlook for you?
Everybody's different. That's the thing about this. Nobody has the same path. And that's why I don't know where I read it or where I heard it, but it was somebody who said, it was talking about people submitting, you've got to submit to your path, and your path is never going to be the same as somebody else's path. And I know in one doctor's visit, I lost my career and I lost what many people would probably say would be your future. But, and then I also found out pretty much just kind of like, and the joke is that I make because I'm a librarian, is like kind of like your due date stamped on your forehead. But now that I've had time to process and go through all the, what you have to go through to accept, because honestly, if we all sit down and think about it, and we have a room full of 100 people in here, how many of us are not going to die?
True. We're all terminal. I understand that.
Right. Yep. So once I processed that and got through that and then got over the, this is not how I want it to be. And it was, last year it was hard when school started back and the kids went back to school and I didn't go back because that was the first year I had never gone back to school. So once all that happened, and then, you know, I started realizing that it was all up to me whether I was going to make this day a good day or a bad day. Now, don't get me wrong. Some days I wake up and I know, okay, this is a bad day. This is not going to be a good day. And from that morning, yeah, things just don't quite click. So then I just stay at home and I don't, you know, really, I don't want to say like go out about town, but, you know, I just stay home, work in the garden with my flowers, you know, do things around home. And I've learned that I'm much more creative now, and which is interesting because several other people in our support group have talked about that. And so I work on like art with like sea glass and, different stuff like that. Also, it's hard because you can't make plans. And I don't mean it like that, but I mean like plans. Like if somebody says, hey, do y'all want to go on vacation in 3 weeks? Well, I don't know if in 3 weeks I may not be going through kind of like a bad spell where I just really kind of need to be at home, because we've learned that with like me, staying in our routine is really, really important.
Yeah.
So like at a certain time at night, everybody knows, hey, it's kind of chill out time. And then like at 9, you know, phones go down, you know,
right.
And everybody goes kind of to your room and then, you know, okay, bedtime's at this time. And you think as an adult, you think, wow, that would probably, but when I stay on my routine, then that allows me to be like, oh gosh, but it allows me to be the best that I can be each and every day. And so some days, you know, I do have days where I have these mind-splitting migraines that are, you wouldn't believe, and then or days where I'm more shaky on my right side, or days where my balance is off, or my hands are more shaky in regards to being able to even hold things. the weight of it. Like, yeah. Okay, I need a small cup today. And so I've had to learn to live with all these adaptations. But learning to adapt and learning, like, okay, well, today's just going to be a day I can't do this, but I can still do these things. And not just thinking, oh, well, you know, I can't do what I want to do, so poor me. That doesn't work. That doesn't work for anybody. You stand still and do nothing. And do we really want to stand still and do nothing? Or do you still want to go and sit in your backyard? Even on the days when I'm not really having what we would call a good day, where I may not be quite as myself as I always am. I mean, Coco and I have a great time outside. I mean, I have tons of lilies and flowers that were both of my grandmother's, and then flowers that people have brought for me, or succulents that I've learned to grow. So I've still been up and moving and trying to learn new things. It's just learning things in a different way.
How old are you now? You said 41 a minute ago when you got the diagnosis.
So 43.
43. It's been a couple of years.
43 and three quarters. I'll be 44 in January.
So how common is this? And I guess that's a tough question to answer, because a lot of people probably are undiagnosed in this.
It's, you know, there's Because,
I mean, you think 44 years old, 43, it's... Well, you don't think about this kind of stuff, do you?
No, you don't. Often it gets mislabeled. Like, oh, well, they're schizophrenic. Oh, well, they're bipolar. Oh, well, they're going through a midlife crisis. And because of the different variants, I have the speech variant. There is also a behavioral variant where people completely act out of context of how they normally would. And I'll talk Amanda later, but my friend Amanda Dawson, who I met through working through this project with, her father was a physician. And, you know, people do things they would never do, like gamble or infidelity or other money issues. And they act completely different than the person who they used to be.
Out of character, yeah.
Yeah. And, or they may, I mean, there's people in jail who have committed crimes, but have been diagnosed since with FTD, which actually is a degeneration in the frontal and the temporal lobes of your brain, which do control behavior. They control the areas where you can think executively. They control the areas where you make your decisions. Like with me, they control the area with speech and writing, and I also have a problem with that as well. And also they control, like I said, your balance. They control your movements. They control a lot of things. And also your ability to make good decisions. So determining how far somebody has progressed, there's also even an OCD variant where patients, and I've watched the videos where they may do something 100 times. And it's so heartbreaking to see that.
Yeah.
So to know that I have this speech variant where, you know, I've had some troubles here, you know, a neck tightening and, you know, swallowing issues and, you know, that kind of thing. And then eventually that's what happens. But, you know, there's therapies, you know, we're working on some. And, you know, like I've said before, we all know when it's our time, it's our time. So we have to make the best of what we have with each day.
One thing you're doing today is bringing awareness. That's one of your main goals here with this, to let people know what it is, what it's about, what you're dealing with yourself. And you can't build hardly any better awareness by publicity than getting in the New York Times. You were actually featured in an ad in the New York Times. So talk about that.
With our campaign that we were launching, we were working in companionship with the AFTD, which is the Association for Frontotemporal Degeneration. And the AFTD is like our advocacy group. You know, for instance, if you had breast cancer, you know, we all know where to go to look for that. Mm-hmm. Well, the AFTD is monumental, and they are the ones where we find our, you know, they're the umbrella we fall under as far as raising awareness. They ran two ads in the New York Times the Sunday before our campaign was about to kick off, and the Sunday after, and our family was featured in the Sunday, October 4th edition of the New York Times.
Your picture's in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is Chris and I and Ralph. Let me give a shout out to my granddog, Ralph. Mm-hmm. That's my buddy. So, yeah, we were at our daughter Gracie's house that day, and, you know, Ralph's just a big pup. Just a little teeny puppy, loves to sit in your lap. So
I know about those. I got yes. one too.
Yes. So would you like me to read it to you?
Sure.
Excuse me. 1 second.
Sip of water. Yeah.
To Chris, my dear husband, the day we got my diagnosis, before we got home, we stopped. And you put my hands in yours, and you told me that you didn't know how, but you knew we'd make it. You said you'd make sure I had the best care possible, and you've done that, and your strength has never wavered. To my kids, Aaron, Gracie, Dylan, Devin, Jake, and Libby, our Brady Bunch, you have such special gifts. You're each using them now in such a positive way. You've been the greatest support system anyone could ever have. I want you to know that every single day I tried my best for you. To the world, you've probably never heard of FTD. I hadn't either when I was diagnosed with the speech variant of it at 41 years old. I taught English for 17 years until this disease took my career from me. I've had to readjust to life in ways I never imagined. There aren't any effective treatments today, and I know all too well that this is a terminal disease, but I'm not giving up. I found the AFTD in a group of like-minded volunteers. Together, we've launched the FTD Hot Shot Challenge. I drank a shot of hot sauce, and to be honest, I can't even usually eat Taco Bell because it's too spicy. I'll do anything possible to fight this disease and to leave a legacy for my children. This is for my family. I love you always. And that was the letter that I wrote to them, and I worked with Ben at the AFTD, and basically for when I was on the phone call with him, you know, I just talked and told him what I wanted, you know, to some of the things I wanted to say, and then he typed as I talked, and so then he sent it to me, and he said, now you make some changes. And we worked and did it that way back and forth. And that's how we, it's hard to say what you want to say to people in a shorter, succinct manner.
Well written by an English teacher, though. I'll give you credit there. You did a good job.
Thank you.
Touching. And you guys had a goal to raise dollars. You shot for $100,000. You guys have reached that, but you're not stopping.
No.
They're over $104,000 now.
Right. We're $104,000 right now. We're hoping that, you know, we've just started the challenge on September 28th, like I said, and we're going to keep it going. And we recently it was the five of us all through, five other ladies all through coming up, working on the campaign. And we were lucky that one of my friends that I've met through this, she's a marketing executive in New York. And I mean, Amanda put the call out in one of our support groups that said, hey, I want to do something positive. If you want to jump on board with me, you know, if you want to help do something, you know, and I responded to her because I was tired of seeing the support groups where people were just like, oh my God, today was terrible. I think, you know, tomorrow will be worse. So, I mean, I just got out of all of those. And I just have, like, one that's, like, where people can ask, and it's called For the Patients Only. So, where they can ask, people can ask patients questions.
Yeah.
So, you can answer, you know, if you know a little bit about it.
Right.
And then the one that's just for patients only that's smaller. And I think we have, like, maybe 300 members that do participate actively. There's more, but I mean, I'm actively on there and ask each other questions.
You've got a Facebook page that gives more details. It's Jennifer Lee on Facebook, right?
Yes.
So
it's Jennifer Lauren Lee, LAURAN, and it's public. And also, if you want to go and just find out more information, if you think, you know, yourself maybe exhibiting, you know, signs and thinking, man, some of this sounds, reminds me of myself. You know, I mean, it is a lot more common than people realize. And Caroline, and that was my friend I was telling you about that worked with this campaign in New York, her mother was a physician as well. And she, I mean, it came on so quickly. Now, her mother was a little bit older, but she's already lost her speech because it just came on so quickly. And that is part of the speech variant is, you know, you get, that is one of your first, that is your faculty that you lose is the ability to speak. So, I mean, it just, every patient is so different.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time, what you're doing. We're certainly thinking about you. We'll be praying for you. And thank you for being with us today, Jennifer.
Thank you for letting me be here, Michael.
Yes. Jennifer Lee with us here. And we'll get you more details on that. Obviously, go to her Facebook page to find out what you can do to help out. More coming up as we continue on the Wake Up Call.